AccuWeather forecast, a mixture of clouds and hopefully sunshine the rest of the day. We'll have a high near 42. One day late because of Monday's icy weather, the Burlington Area School District Board, in a series of 5-1 votes, approved a $94-plus million facilities referendum for the April ballot. Three questions will be asked of taxpayers in just under 11 weeks, led by a $68 million proposal for a new middle school on the grounds of the current building, which used to be the district's high school, also facilities upgrades around the district. Another $14.4 million would go toward creating a performing arts center at a site to be determined. $11.7 million would construct and equip another gymnasium and put more athletic space into Burlington High School. The Board of Education in the Racine County town of Yorkville approving a referendum for the April ballot. This will ask taxpayers to approve more educational financing toward future sustainability. The question will ask approval to a reoccurring $490,000 over the state-imposed revenue limit. Racine's Common Council about a month ago approved creation of an aldermanic ad hoc committee to review a one-year versus two-year contract extension for venue works and managing the Civic Center. Last night, after plenty more discussion, the aldermen voted to rescind the previous decision. Alderman Sandy White is suggesting an outside look at the contract versus the Civic Center Board, which would benefit the city.
I think it would be healthy for an ad hoc committee with a number of members of this Common Council to look at that contract to decide going forward how we would want to revise or amend or what we would want to add to a new RFP when it's time to go out for bid again. I don't know why anybody would be threatened by council members doing that.
Alderman Melissa Lemke said she was torn about which way to go, but leaned toward existing committee oversight.
Overall, I agree with the rationale that we do need people to look over these contracts in great detail, but I do believe that the Finance Committee or the Civic Center Committee would be an appropriate place to do that.
It was a 7-5 vote with two abstentions on a motion to add three names to the five suggested earlier, which meant a tie based on the lack of a council majority. That then prompted a motion to rescind the previous approval for the committee, and that was supported on an 8-6 vote. The agenda for the Mount Pleasant Finance Legal Licensing Committee coming up this afternoon at 3:30. It includes a 2017 contract for the Bell Urban System, the Case High School liaison officer position, and a possible liability policy for off-duty police officers. Racine's Transit and Parking Commission meets at 4:30 at City Hall. The agenda includes results on the request for proposals with a mobile payment method, this regarding the meters, and a contract with Racine Unified for busing students. The Kenosha City Council agenda for tonight at 7 o'clock, that includes a conditional use permit for the Shalom Center's new standalone shelter on 39th Avenue. And revitalizing West Racine and what's standing in the way of that goal, about 5 dozen people got together at the Wilson Funeral Home last night, talking over those issues and kind of starting the process of doing something about them. Chris Quilichek is the president of the West Racine Business and Professional Association, so they want to get the entire neighborhood to work together to help bring about change.
What are things people would like to see in the area they live? What types of businesses do we need to market to bring into the area? Changes in the properties and really just the direction of the community as a whole.
Meanwhile, working in groups, those attending discuss some of the things they'd like to see in the area, like a grocery store, gas station, full-service restaurant, community garden, even a link to the bike path. They believe some of the impediments include the aging buildings, little in the way of public relations about the area, and a lack of appeal to all ages. There'll be more discussions going forward. A Treverman facing his fourth OWI charge for allegedly driving past emergency vehicles involved in putting out a fire on I-94 in Racine County. Criminal complaint has sheriff's deputies and state patrol troopers blocking the roadway with emergency vehicles, crews dealing with the vehicle fire, then a car passed them, driving up an off-ramp to the nearby truck scale. The deputy following the car, which did not stop at the scale, then it got onto an on-ramp and back onto the interstate. The deputy's report noting fire personnel, quote, looking in amazement, unquote, as that vehicle continued. Well, eventually the driver was stopped, and 29-year-old Sky Pace was arrested for drunk driving, as well as second-degree reckless endangerment of safety and bail jumping. Court records show Pace's third OWI charge is still pending in Kenosha County from last February. A Racine man will be sentenced in mid-March for his no-contest plea agreement conviction to a single charge of possessing a firearm as an out-of-state felon instead of two original counts of first-degree reckless endangerment of safety with a dangerous weapon. 30-year-old Anthony Adams arrested in June for an April 25th incident on Packard Avenue in which he allegedly offered comments about the girlfriend of another man at a grocery store, and then he grabbed a gun as the man approached his vehicle. Roughly a month later, Adams allegedly held a gun to his wife's head when she told him she wanted a divorce. For the second year in a row, the Kenosha County Parks Department has had to cancel the 4-H Youth Ice Fishing Derby that was scheduled for this weekend. Supervisor Dennis Elverin telling his Kenosha County Board colleagues last night, the ice was fine last weekend and then came the warm-up.
Maybe safe for adults, but it'd be a very wet mess and not safe for children, so we're going to have to cancel that. That was this Saturday.
The event at Katy Park on the west end of Kenosha County will not be rescheduled this year. Ice conditions on all lakes and rivers in southeast Wisconsin, a concern right now. And Milwaukee-based Robert W. Baird, which of course has an office in downtown Racine, ordered by the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority to pay $23.5 million to Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, for raiding brokers from Wells Fargo's Wichita, Kansas office and hiring them. A Baird statement says they strongly disagree with the assertion in the situation and the findings in general. Within the next 30 days, the Racine Common Council's Committee of the Whole will have a meeting to deal with administrative presentation and probably some comments on development proposals for Machinery Row, the Lakefront Event Center, and a housing proposal at 615 Marquette Street. Alderman Sandy Widener wanted an open discussion about all three. She claimed procedural maneuvers around her availability and that some were even discussed illegally in closed session.
I believe that these items that were taken up in closed session were in violation of the open records law. Number two, those communications went to executive committee without having been referred to the Common Council. Number three, once the administration learned that I was in Florida, these items were sent to executive committee within 24 hours, requiring me to leave Florida early to attend that meeting.
City Administrator Tom Friedel disputing the claims of schedule maneuvering, improper closed sessions to talk about the projects, and selective scheduling of agenda items for the council.
After the meeting on Wednesday, the executive committee meeting, I made a point to stop and ask Alderman Widener about the fact that she had this communication in and that there were three items on it. I said to her, since we've taken up two of the items, I'm only going to schedule one of them. She replied to me, fine, and she walked away. I have no reason not to schedule these items when an alderman asks for them. I have no reason to hold them out, and I wouldn't act on them had I not heard that.
City Attorney Scott Letney, when asked if any open meetings law violations had occurred with the closed briefings, said, not in my opinion. The Kenosha City Council agenda tonight, 7 o'clock, the meeting tonight instead of Monday because of the King holiday. The agenda includes a conditional use permit for the Shalom Center and that new standalone shelter site on 39th Avenue. And the efforts of two unnamed and very bright employees in the Kenosha County Finance Department are being recognized by county officials because of an additional $1.3 million in unclaimed Medicaid reimbursements as far back as 2014. The Kenosha News quoting Lori Staves of the Human Services Department is saying they're going to use the updated methodology for seeking reimbursements from now on. $1 million of the total $1.3 million was for mental health support services and case management crisis help, most of it from fiscal years 2014 and 15. A couple of Racine residents offered public comments at last night's Common Council meeting on the request by Fisher USA to buy roughly 3/4 of an acre from the neighboring city-owned Pierce Woods Park, that for a planned expansion of that southwest side business. Marilyn Peterson strongly opposed, calling the park a jewel in the midst of middle America.
It breaks my heart to think our city council would even consider selling off a small parcel of this oasis. Surely we are not that desperate for money. I hope not. Mr. Molbeck, who I spoke with Monday, almost had me convinced that it wasn't such a bad thing. And I do understand the business aspect of Fisher wanting to grow his business. I was in business for 21 years.
Linda Balzine lives across the street on the north end of the park. She voiced support.
Major use of this park is closest to Pierce Boulevard on the south side of the park. I know this. The shelter is there, and many activities and picnics are there. Wildlife is there. Everything is there. But the property that Fisher Park, Fisher USA wishes to purchase is on the side of the park that is not used.
The purchase request by Fisher, which the company says would help to create 20 new jobs, was sent to the Finance Committee for consideration next week. Kenosha County Board Supervisor Jill Gilmore is using some newfound attention to shine a brighter light on the issue of families with premature infants. Gilmore has been named Mrs. Wisconsin Royalty International 2017. She'll compete this August in the national pageant to be held in Milwaukee. Four of Gilmore's seven children were premature, according to the Kenosha News. She began a charity organization called Marley's Ministry about a year ago to offer help to affected families. You can Google Marley's Ministry. That's M-A-R-L-E-I-G-H-S. ministry.org to visit the website. The fundraising goal of $5,000 is well past the halfway mark. Racine County Judge Emily Miller sentences 78-year-old Burlington resident Kenneth Cherick to 3 years in prison for his seventh drunk driving conviction, and that'll be followed by 5 years of extended supervision. Cherick arrested last June after his vehicle crashed into a parked motorcycle as he was attempting to leave a Highway 11 bar in the town of Burlington. His blood alcohol level measured 0.234. Criminal complaint says that's almost three times the legal limit. And 27-year-old Milwaukee resident Damon Jackson scheduled for a sentencing Tuesday in Racine County Court on a plea agreement conviction to second-degree reckless homicide with a dangerous weapon and as a repeat offender. Then at the last minute, he asked for a new attorney. Online court records show Jackson still scheduled for a February 20th sentencing hearing before Judge Faye Flancher. He was charged reference a 2014 armed robbery attempt that resulted in the death of a Chicago man on Grand Avenue in Racine. The Mount Pleasant Legal, Finance, and Licensing Committee is meeting at 3:30 this afternoon. The agenda includes a 2017 contract with the Bell Urban System, as well as the Case High School liaison police officer position. Coming up at 4:30 this afternoon at City Hall in Racine, the Transit and Parking Commission is meeting. That agenda includes the results of a request for proposal with the mobile payment method for the meters, the phone app, and the contract with Racine Unified for busing students. The Racine Common Council last night approving a committee of the whole recommendation that supports an April ballot referendum question in response to that Supreme Court ruling about corporate spending on elections. Mary Beth Zolke of Racine Coalition for Peace and Justice urged support.
That we, the people of the city of Racine, seek to reclaim democracy from the expansion of corporate personhood rights and the corrupting influence of unregulated political contributions and spending. We stand with communities across this country to support passage of an amendment to the United States Constitution stating only human beings are endowed with constitutional rights, not corporations, unions, nonprofits, or other artificial entities.
The referendum will only be advisory. It's part of a statewide and national effort to overturn that controversial ruling from 2010 that favored Citizens United against the Federal Election Commission. The Kenosha County District Attorney's Office has charged Trevor resident Joshua Erickson with causing injury by the intoxicated use of a motor vehicle. This in reference to a traffic crash last Sunday that left one of the passengers in his pickup truck with a traumatic brain injury. The 22-year-old Erickson reportedly lost control on Camp Lake Road. The vehicle then struck a tree. One of the women suffered what the criminal complaint says were potentially life-threatening injuries, the other with lesser injuries. All three listed in the charging document as having been at a tavern in New Munster, open beer cans found in the truck's cab, several empty cans and bottles in the open bed. And Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones again saying no decision has been made regarding Tony Romo's future with the team and that he alone will be the one to determine what happens. Speculation is that Dallas will either trade or release Burlington's favorite son because of a $24.7 million salary cap hit for next season. Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Karkow, WRJN News.